got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5373, 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, a doozy, an amazing Mamma Mia question, the biblical question, what kind of human being are you actually? Actually, I can't say it, but okay. What kind of human being are you actually? Amazing question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about and you're just running around anywhere in the world and you don't have time to just sit and watch it, so you say, hey, I'm a podcast the show. You still could podcast and hear the show as it is happening, by going to the listen line on TalkStream Live on your iPhone or iPad and call 605-615-4131, 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Amazing. We take all calls, but because we love the Bible Thumpers, we give a lot of extra time to the Bible Thumpers on Thursday. And so today is and will always be Bible Thumper Thursday.
All right, brother. Are you ready? He's drunk as a badger.
He's drunk as a badger.
Go ahead. Let that Holy Ghost language come up out of you. Go ahead.
I got the Holy Ghost. Amazing. Bible Thumper Thursday. 888-7753-773. 888-77-DESSE. Normally on Bill Lockwood, our friend, your friend, and the friend of America, is here on Monday or Tuesday, at least Tuesday, and sometime Wednesday. But something happened. But yeah, we got him. He is here the last whatever day of the month. Bill Lockwood is here. And for those who don't know him, everybody should know by now, Bill Lockwood is the host of Patriot Pulpit and Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. He's a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ in Texas. And you can support him. Write this down. Put it in your calendar. You can support Bill. I highly encourage it. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. American Liberty, Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. And we're going to remind you of that before he leaves today. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Jesse Lee. How are you today?
All is well. And you?
Very good. Thank you.
Amazing. And so, Bill, I got a lot I want to talk to you about in the time that we do have. I want to first get your feedback, your thoughts on the situation with Israel and Iran. The fact that the president went over and blew up the bombs. whatever he did. And then the fact that they may, and have to wait and see, have peace there for a minute. What do you think about that whole ordeal?
Well, it's an involved question with many different sides, but let me just start by pointing out that, number one, Israel is our friend diplomatically. Israel is our friend on the global stage. However, there's no biblical injunction that we need to defend Israel because the state of Israel today has nothing to do with the Bible. So that's number one. So the point simply is it's not a mandatory obligation from God that we need to defend Israel. Number two, much of the problem has come about throughout the history of Israel and Iran, and some of it, unfortunately, if not most of it, has come about from the meddling, international meddling of the United States. Iran was our friend. When the Shah of Iran was there, they were our friend. But Jimmy Carter and the internationalist cabal that he represented absolutely, figuratively speaking here, cut the throat of the Shah. They betrayed him, and they turned it over to the mullahs of Iran. That is the hardline Islamic Republic. So now, Iran has been the number one state sponsor of terror. But that is partially because, if not wholly because, the United States itself intermeddled in the foreign affairs and insisted on regime change. And we changed the regime from the Shah of Iran, who was our friend. He thought we were his friend. He was our friend. He had many foreign exchange students coming over, and he had increased the liberties of the people there, even though it would not be equal to the liberties that we have here. But the per annum income of the Iranian person, the Persians, was increasing. And so the Shah himself was our friend. As a matter of fact, I read a book, and I recommend it to people if they can still get it. It's written by Hussein Nahavandi. And he was the prime minister and one of the confidants of the Shah of Iran, who was Muhammad Pahlavi, his name was. So he tells the story of how Jimmy Carter's administration betrayed the Shah of Iran, and we kicked him out. He said, his wording, we kicked him out like a dead mouse. So there's a lot more aspects to the story, but our entire democratic machine in the United States began, such as the Ted Kennedys, began to talk about how horrible the Shah was, and we needed to change the regime, just as we did with South Africa. So then we turned South Africa over, and now we have it controlled by communists. So also the same thing regarding Iran. That's number two. Number three, it has been indeed the number one state sponsor of terror since those days, and it has involved us internationally all the time. Continually, I would say this. So I, number one, respect the fact that Donald Trump has had victory in it. But number two, and I want to be sure to add this, I believe it was an unconstitutional act. I do side with Rand Paul and with Tucker Carlson, who took on Ted Cruz, our own senator, from Texas, as well as Thomas Massie, it was unconstitutional, but we have not acted constitutionally since World War II. Jesse, we have been involved in war ever since World War II, whether it be Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq. Every one of those wars have been fought unconstitutionally because the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8 says that it is only the Congress that is to declare war. The president has no war-making powers to initiate conflict. He is only the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. So I heard several commentators saying, you know what? Donald Trump is the commander-in-chief of the army. Therefore, he can go do what he wants to do. That is false. The Constitution does not allow that. So constitutionally speaking, I believe he was in the wrong on this. And just the same as I did not agree with Obama doing those things or Clinton doing those things or George W. Bush doing those things without the approval of Congress. And by the way, that brings us to number four, and that is, why is it that we are so adamant and insistent upon being faithful to Article 5 of the United Nations, or the NATO Treaty, I should say, which is under the auspices of the United Nations, and saying, we're going to be faithful to Article number 5, but we will not be faithful to our own Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. Why is that the case? So I am appreciative of the success of the operation. And I understand that we've been having trouble all the time, but we need to reach back and see, why are we having trouble? Who was the cause of it? And then how is it that we're acting unconstitutionally? I worry that we have gone off the rails on this one, constitutionally speaking.
If we didn't wait, let's say the Democrats didn't want the president to do anything about this, and they went the way of the Constitution, and the Democratic and right-o Republicans voted against the president doing anything about it. How is he supposed to protect us from nuclear weapons since Iran don't like us anymore? How are we supposed to protect ourselves?
Well,
that's saying that, you know,
the idea of protecting ourselves, that this is the smoke and mirrors that we are seeing, Jesse. I think it's nuclear blackmail. For example, India and Pakistan were trading blows at one point. Donald Trump said at first, it is not our business. But all of a sudden they said, well, we may punch the nuclear button over here. Then we get involved in it. So why is it that we must get involved everywhere in the world? Why is it that we have not been involved with China and stopping them from having nuclear weapons? Why don't we do that? Why is it that we go pick on the younger, the smaller nations, such as in the Mideast, that are developing it? That has been the number one headliner, and that is, if they get a nuclear weapon, they're going to destroy the world. I don't believe it. They may act that way, but I think the best offense is to have a strong defense, and that is, if indeed they began to attack other nations, then we can be involved if they attack us. But I recoil from the idea that, okay, there's a rogue nation over here, over in the Mideast or in the Far East or wherever it may be, that has a nuclear capability, and therefore it is our responsibility with blood, treasure. We haven't spilled our blood on this one, but our treasure, we must go over there and act as the policeman of the world. Why is that the case? I question all of that, constitutionally speaking. And if that's the case, Jesse, then have we not shredded Article 1, Section 8? Have we not just thrown it out the window?
Right. So you're saying that we should follow the Constitution, but if we are attacked, that gives us the right to defend ourselves without having to go to Congress or anyone else.
We still have to go to Congress. Congress has to declare war.
If we are attacked.
That's correct.
About you go to Jasmine Cricket and she doesn't want it?
You know what? Jasmine Cricket she's just one little squeaky voice in Congress, but it would not be that Miss Cricket would be able to stop that. I you know what? And I understand that we are in an impasse in the United States, and that's another problem, and that is I am not siding with the Democrats here. The Democrats have no fidelity to the Constitution. They are opposing Donald Trump, not on constitutional basis, or they want to cloak it that way. They're opposing Donald Trump because they don't like him.
Right.
When Obama had dropped thousands and thousands of bombs overseas in his last month of office, they didn't say anything about it. When Clinton went to war in South Africa, sent troops down there, they didn't say anything about it. They were not going to oppose that. They're not opposing Donald Trump on a principled basis. They're opposing Donald Trump because they don't like him. Let me give you this illustration. You know, back in the days of Prohibition, there were the bootleggers and there were the preachers who were against both of them legalizing liquor by the drink,
right.
selling liquor. Well, that doesn't mean that preachers and bootleggers were somehow an affinity with one another. It just so happens they approached it from different angles, and that is, the preachers didn't want it because of the moral issues. The bootleggers didn't want it because of the money that they were losing. So it exactly is with people who are constitutionalists, such as I try to be, and the Democrats. The Democrats are approaching it because they hate Donald Trump. They don't care about the Constitution. That is just a cloak that they put on at the particular time. But I'm approaching it from the constitutional standpoint, and so I have opposed the going to war or dropping bombs on Iran on the constitutional principle.
So I didn't hear the Tucker Carlson debate with what's his name?
Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Was Tucker basing on the Constitution as well?
You know, I didn't hear the entire.
Oh, okay.
But I did hear them spar. They had a segment that Tucker Carlson was sparring with Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz takes this position. He says, number one, we have isolationists over here. Number two, we have the people who are internationalists over here. And he says, but I'm not either one of them. He says, I'm a non-interventionist hawk. Well, first of all, I want to take him to task on that. This deal about isolationism, that is a crock. I don't know anyone. I've never met anyone. I've never read after anyone who is an isolationist in the sense that they don't want to have anything to do with the world. George Washington was not an isolationist. Thomas Jefferson was not an isolationist. James Madison was not an isolationist. They were involved in the world, but they were non-interventionist as far as involving ourselves in the political affairs of Europe. But the internationalist of the day, from the time of Woodrow Wilson forward, wanted desperately to be involved internationally and to form an international government, which they called in his day the League of Nations. It was not formed until FDR's period, and that would be the United Nations. But nevertheless, the internationalists are the ones who have guided the ship since the days of Woodrow Wilson. Those who oppose it are not isolationists. We are non-interventionists. Don't get intervened in every single war in the world.
Right.
Why should we?
Right.
That's the position. So isolationism is a bogeyman that they've made up to make us look like, okay, we want to put a head in the sand of what's going on. No, I just don't want to be involved and send my sons and daughters overseas or my money overseas to fight every single war that every politician wants to come up with.
Amazing. Why did Jimmy Carter do what he did to bring on this type of situation? Why did he
Jimmy Carter was an internationalist. He was a globalist, internationalist. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission. And their primary goal is to keep America involved, keep America involved in wars all over the world continually, and keep us involved in the United Nations. So to do that, you have to have enemies somewhere to fight. You have to have enemies. So they always come up with under the auspices of human rights. He said, well, the Shah is not following human rights. Well, number one, even though he may not have been, according to what we would think to be the case. Is it our business to go to Iran in the days of Jimmy Carter and say, we don't like what you're doing with your people over here, so we're going to get involved and change the regime? No. Just the same as China has a one-child policy. Is it our business to go to China and say, we don't like what you're doing here because you're violating human rights, you're imprisoning people, as we know they have been for, since the time of Mao Zedong. They've been imprisoning dissidents in the government. Is it our business to go over there and say, well, we don't like what you're doing here, and you're violating human rights, therefore we're going to get involved in this, and we're going to change the regime? Good luck with that. You know what? That's what we did in South Africa, and they did it under apartheid, the apartheid thing. We don't like what's happening here, so we're going to go down here and change the regime. Now what do you got? We got major problems.
Yeah.
We have intermeddled everywhere in the world under the guidance of internationalists who don't like the Constitution, who don't want America first, and they want to be an international globalist government, and they want it to be that way, where we are controlled by other nations. So Jimmy Carter was all about that. That's what he was about. Everybody, he was sold to the American people, and it makes me angry to think about, by the mainstream media, who has been lying to the American people all of my lifetime. But he, just like Fidel Castro was sold to the American people as an agrarian reformer, Jimmy Carter was sold to the American people as a peanut farmer from Georgia, and all he wants to do is, you know, he wants to get in there and make everything better, and he's just a simple-minded. No. He was an internationalist, member of the Trilateral Commission, the Rockefeller Organization. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He had his fingers in every internationalist pot. So he was controlled by the international organizations. He was not your little peanut farmer from Georgia.
Wow. And so, China, why don't we, since we're involved in everybody else's business, why don't we stop China from creating a nuclear bomb?
That's a good question. China has said, just as the mullahs of Iran have said, and the Islamists have said, that they're going to take over the world, that they're going to dominate, and they've done so. China has done that much more effectively than Iran has. China has its interest in South America. They've taken territories. They're still at war with Tibet, the country. They themselves have an aggressive communist policy. That is communism. And here's something else interesting. I'll just throw this in while we're tracking along the way. When back in the period between World War II and following, you know, when Mao Zedong was in the mountains of China, and there was a freedom fighter by the name of Chiang Kai-shek who wanted a free China. Which side do you think that we absolutely supported? Well, on the face of it, we supported Chiang Kai-shek because that's whom we should support. But in reality, our mainstream media at the time was selling Mao Zedong as an agrarian reformer, just as they sold Fidel Castro. The New York Times in the 1960s, Jesse, was selling Fidel Castro as an agrarian reformer. That's all he wanted to do was to come in here and reform the government of Cuba. And they whitewashed him just as they did Mao Zedong earlier. They whitewashed him. And so consequently, even though we ostensibly were supporting Free China or Chiang Kai-shek, We were supposedly giving him guns, but we'd send him guns without the bullets. It's all documented in a book by M. Stanton Evans called Blacklisted by History. It's a story about Joseph McCarthy and how he was so much adamantly opposed to what was going on over there that we were not really supporting Chiang Kai-shek. Well, what happened? Mao Zedong took the mainland of China and immediately exterminated 20 million Chinese people. They have exterminated more people than any regime in the history of the world. And yet we could not wait to get to get some kind of diplomatic relations with them, which we did under Richard Nixon, whom I count as an internationalist as well, and things have not been the same since.
And so one other thing about South Africa, are you saying that we should not have interfere, America should not have interfere with the apartheid
exactly.
thing?
Exactly, exactly,
and let
yes.
them work that out, right?
Yes. Yeah, why should we?
I agree.
Is it to say that I agree with the government they set up? Not necessarily.
Right, that's right.
That has nothing to do with it. I don't agree with what's going on in a lot of countries. But it is not our business to go down and say, we don't like what you're doing here. You have a white-controlled government where the blacks are enslaved. That's not our business.
Yeah.
So now what do? We have the African National Congress, and we supported them, apparently. So Nelson Mandela was a member of the African National Congress. That's a communist organization. Uh-huh. And they were necklacing people. They would soak tires in gasoline and put them on the necks of people and burn them alive.
Right.
That's Nelson. But he's become a great hero in America because, after all, apartheid was a divided government, and that's wrong, and we've got to get in there and fix it. So instead, we've ended up supporting the African National Congress, and they took over, or the blacks did, and now what do you got in South Africa?
Genocide.
That's right.
Why is it that if they care about the blacks being under apartheid, why is it that they don't care that the white people are under apartheid and they're being genocided by the blacks and America doesn't care about that? Why is that?
Because if they were to expose that, it would expose, in part, the internationalist plans and plots that we have foiled everything that we touch overseas because our internationalists who have controlled our government have actually sided with socialism everywhere. You know what? Here's another good book someone might look up. It's written by, his last name is Volkolganov, I believe it is. And it's an autopsy of an empire about the Soviet Union. But he tells the story of the American press in the second or the first two decades of the 20th century. The American press was so enraptured with Vladimir Lenin. They were so enthralled with the Stalins of the world. And so they went over there. We had magazine editors, newspaper editors, they went over there, and the Soviet Union that had just had the Bolshevik Revolution, they showcased how great it was in the Soviet Union, even though they exterminated millions of people to get it. And they showcased all of this, and our reporters that were so favorable to all of that came back and said, we like it, we love it, we want some more of it. And so they just talked it up continually. Now, why is that the case? Well, so that gave us an atmosphere to support what was going on over there, at least not oppose it. And that's what happened in World War II. So we sided with the Russians in World War II, even though General Patton, for example, said, you know, the Russians are the ones that are going to be enemies here. But we wouldn't listen to that. We ended up Berlin. They took Berlin, and the Soviet Union set up shop there, and they set up a slave state.
Wow.
But
amazing.
But so we've had internationalists intermeddling around the world all the time and seemingly siding with those who have been the villains.
Amazing. Let me take a quick break. When I come back, I want you to tell the folks how to get to your website and learn more what you're talking about, because this is so much, and if we're so dumbed down in America, ain't no way.
Yeah,
the
that's
kids
right.
are going to understand. Let me take a quick break. 888-775-3773. Back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry. because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see, but you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit, and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger, because it has no love, bro. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Don't forget to support us on social media, right? Jesse Lee Peterson. We are on rumble.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, cozy.tv/JLP Talk, JLP Talk on X, Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram, and now on PILLED.net/Jesse Lee Peterson. Follow, comment, ring the bell, and do subscribe. And y'all know what to do, all right? And the Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning, Monday through Friday. The Hake Report, the guy with the good hair. And the American Anchor Baby at 11 a.m. Energy given to him by God. You don't want to miss the American Anchor Baby. I want to get back to Bill Lockwood and... this is so interesting to me. I hardly know what to do with it. Bill.
Yes, sir.
Tell the folks how to get to your website, whatever information you want to put out there.
Sure. Thank you, Jesse. Yeah. Well, the website, and I don't put articles on it at this time, but it does have a button to donate. It's called American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. So radio program that, or it's a podcast rather, that I have is Patriotic Pulpit, and it can be found on YouTube, Amazon Music app, and as well as Spotify app. So it's patrioticpulpit.com. And then my sermons in the pulpit, which are the Church of Christ at Iowa Park, Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. That's what we do, that one. We also have a website there, Iowa Park Church of Christ website, iowaparkcoc.org, but it's Patriotic Pulpit. That's what I do on the podcast, and then Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood, which I do, were Bible-oriented lessons.
So American Liberty with BillLockwood.com, folks. Bill, all that you're teaching us this morning, this will never be taught in the schools, ever.
No,
again.
It will not. No, and no, they will not.
And the young people are taught everything but this. So does that mean that this is never going to change? It's just going to get worse?
Well, you know what? As you always say, Donald Trump is our hope. You call him the great white hope.
The
you
great
know,
but white hope. And over in Europe the other day, this guy called him daddy.
Oh, really?
Who was that guy there?
I don't know which one called him daddy.
I'm trying to ask Derek, but he's not paying attention.
How about the guy with the great hair, James Hake?
The NATO guy called Donald Trump daddy the other day because he settled this thing with Iran and Israel.
Right.
And he
right.
was called daddy over there the other day. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And he been called king. They had the king day, no king, but they call him king. They've been rallying,
really?
Yeah, over in this country. And he's the great white hope. What?
I don't know.
what's going to happen?
I don't know. I do believe in Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But I believe that he has been caught up in the internationalist cog here. So when people see Lindsey Graham, who is an internationalist, and he never saw a word that he did not like, supporting Donald Trump going to war in Iran, you know, something's not right.
Absolutely.
Here. So, but we have been involved internationally since the time of Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson hated the Constitution, or particularly the Declaration of Independence. And Woodrow Wilson, matter of fact, when he would quote the Declaration of Independence, he would quote it and he would leave out that our rights are gifts from God. He would not. He would just leave out the part that parts, you know, that our rights come from God. But he himself, so that internationalist, coterie, was so powerful because it had been since the time of really Charles Darwin, where the internationalist had been dominant. So consequently, from Woodrow Wilson's period through the period of Franklin Roosevelt, internationalists dominated. And in my view, now I know many people are going to jump up and down and think this is wrong, but in my view, FDR manipulated us into World War II. I believe that he wanted us in World War II. They just like Woodrow Wilson wanted us in World War I, the sinking of the Lusitania. So we have in World War II, Pearl Harbor. And incidentally, here's a question for people. Just let me stop there and just come back to that in a moment. Let's just say, for example, that I live near in Wichita Falls, and we have Shepherd Air Force Base here. Let us just say, for example, that China and the Soviet Union had teamed up together and they bombed the Shepherd Air Force Base and destroyed the planes and other bases strategically in the United States. Would we not count that as an act of war? I think we would. Yeah, I think everybody would count that as, well, that's what we did in Iran. And yet we have the administration saying, no, this is not declaring war. This is strategic police action. I am baffled at that, because if someone did that to us, we would count that as war and we're all going to go to war right now. But no, we can go bomb other nations and we don't count that as war. We count that as police action. That's exactly what the United Nations was designed to do, to put us under the auspices of its own ruling elite, to make us bleed our money, treasure, our blood, and we to go around the world, and we are the army of the United Nations. So they put blue helmets on individuals sometimes and send them over there. So back to the period of FDR. FDR wanted us into World War II. He drew up a 15-point plan for his staff. How can we get into World War II? How can we do it? And so they drew up 15 points on the plan in order to get us into World War II. He had people on his staff such as Harry Dexter White, who was a tried and true communist. He was warned by individuals in Congress, say, you've got a communist here, Harry Dexter White, right in your staff. He said, well, some of the communists are my best friends. You know what? Do you know, on that 15-point plan, if that's the number of points that it was, I think, he followed every single one of them to the T. And you know what? It provoked Japan, and then they bombed Pearl Harbor. So there was a book written, I think it was written by Robert Stinnett, about Day of Infamy, about Pearl Harbor. And so he was a general in the Army, maybe in Navy. I'm maybe mistaken on that. Robert Stinnett. Anyway, he said, I'm tired of hearing people say that we got manipulated into World War II and that FDR wanted us in World War II. So he went back and looked at all the records. He said, I'm going to answer that. So he went back and he said, lengthily process, and he finally came out with the conclusion, do you know what? He did manipulate us into the war, but he said, it was for our own good and the good of the world, and we're glad that he did, because it enabled us to stop communism in its tracks, and it was able enable us to stop the Japanese from taking over. So it was for a good cause. But he said, well, he did manipulate us into the war.
Wow.
That is not taught normally in schools at all because they don't want it. But that's exactly what Robert Stinnett came out and said in his book, Day of Infamy. He said, yeah, we were manipulated into the war. Well, why? Because of the internationalists who were controlling our government since the time of Woodrow Wilson want us to be involved in an international global government, and they want us to be the ones who fund it, who support it, who are now, and by the way, here's another one. John F. Kennedy signed a statement about, it's called Freedom from War. And the statement is, it's a lengthy thread. I think I have it right back here on my shelf somewhere. Freedom from War. It was over a period of time to turn over all of our armaments, all of our weaponry, all of our armament machinery to the United Nations over a period of time. Now, what's the point of all of this? The point of all of this is the people who have controlled our government, whether Republicans such as Richard Nixon or George W. Bush or Democrats such as reaching back to FDR, reaching forward to LBJ and so forth, have been internationalists. Internationalists.
Amazing.
That's what's controlling our government. The only one who is not has been Donald Trump. And he says, America first. No, we're not going to do all of that.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? People lose their minds when they hear that because this is not how we have been trained and we have goose-stepped for 100 years. So they say, wow, we just can't have that. So anyway, that's how we have come to the position where we are and why we have such a divide in the United States Congress right now even because the internationalists control. That's what a neocon is, an internationalist, and they want national socialism as well as international involvement.
Is it all about the money and power? That's why they want war, or there's something else they want?
You know, I think that at the root level, many of them want money and power because the international banks, going back to the book by Volkogonov that I mentioned, Autopsy of an Empire, he pointed out that the international banks have benefited financially from both sides in a war. The international banks have. They get so much money from both sides that are fighting each other in a war. They finance both sides.
Amazing.
So it's almost like the slavery question. People are so, I don't know, I want to say ignorant, but I don't want to be too harsh here, but people...
That's a nice word.
Ignorant about the slavery question. Do you know the South had slavery? That's true. Who funded it? The Northern banks funded it. Chase Manhattan Bank gave them the money in the South to not only continue slavery, but to bolster it and increase slavery. It was only within the last 10 years, very quietly, Chase Manhattan Bank came out and said, I think it was Chase Manhattan, well, we're sorry for our participation in the slavery trade. The slave trade was funded by Northern banks. Why did they do that? Because they made money at it.
Amazing.
So now people say, we don't like the South. We don't like Robert E. Lee and all that. You know what? The banks that were located in New York City were the ones giving the money for the slave trade. That was what was going on. The banks were not located in the South. So the banks have made a lot of money on war. Here's another example. Just think about Vietnam. Here's a war that we lost. Is it not incredible, Jesse, that we lost Vietnam, a small country that is probably the size of Oklahoma? And we lost the war? How did that happen? Because it was fought in the halls of Washington, D.C., and not given the allowance to the battlefield commanders to take control and win it. And we lost it, and then we had Saigon absolutely taken over. But another interesting facet of it is we never declared war. There was no Congress, there was no congressional approval of it. LBJ went to war, sent our troops over there. We did not declare war. Korea, did we declare war there? No, we did not declare. Technically, we are still at war with Korea.
Amazing.
We've only had a temporary truce. That is, we're going to cease hostilities. It's a temporary truce. So now, what do we have to do? Well, our troops again, our money. This is where your tax money goes. We send troops over to Korea to defend the 38th parallel. Why did we not take North? Why did we not go up to North Korea? Well, MacArthur wanted to. He said, you can't win these wars unless you go and defeat the enemy right there on the ground and drive them back. Harry Truman said, no, you're not going to do that. This is not how we're going to fight these kind of wars. And you're going to stop right there. And they fired him, brought him home. And so now what happens? You have a slave state in North Korea. Who's responsible for that? Well, you know what? I think maybe our internationalists are responsible for it.
Amazing. Have NATO ever ended a war? Have they ever stopped a war?
Well, they might say technically they have, but they have always. We're always at war. We are at war today. We have been at war every single year that I have been alive. And every year that you've been alive, we have been at war. How is that the case? What, people need to ask themselves, why is it we're technically still at war with North Korea? But then we fought in Vietnam. A long, protracted war drained us of all of our resources, our men. It was resisted in the United States. We didn't declare war. Then we fought in Iraq. Then we fought in Afghanistan. Now we say Iran can't have a nuclear weapon, and we go bomb them. And we just continually are a war-making machine.
Yeah.
And I question all of that.
Give me two quick answers here. One is, how should we deal with China? Should we just stay out of their business and they stay out of ours? What should we do with China at this point?
Well, at this particular point, I believe that we need to support Taiwan. I do believe that we need to do that. Partly because of our own involvement historically, we need to support Taiwan. We need to cut China off. And we need to take the hardline stance against China, as I think Trump wants to do.
Oh, okay. And Israel, you said something like, I don't remember exactly how you put it, that Israel is our friend, and we should help Israel, right? Are you saying that?
Well, you know what? I believe that we should have relationship with Israel as our friends. That's true.
Right.
As far as supporting them fight militarily, I'm not certain about that. I think we should trade with them. I think that we should, if we want to sell them our weapons and sell them, that's fine. But as far as we go to war in support or defense of Israel, I question that.
Should we give them money?
I don't believe that we have constitutional authority to give $1 to any country outside of the United States, any country at all. We don't have a constitutional authority to give $1 to anyone.
Do you believe that this ceasefire thing that they're doing now will last with Iran and Israel?
Well, I hope so. I had planned next year to try to travel to Israel.
Yeah, me too.
To Bible lands. Well, let's go together then, if you.
Okay.
but you know what? I hope so, but I don't know. I'm not certain, really. How that will last. It looks like it's tenuous in some respects.
Have you ever gone to Israel?
No. I had planned to go 2 years ago, but there was the bombing
You have not lived until you go to Israel.
I'd love to do that.
I have gone there, and it's amazing. The Bible land, walking through the Bible, is amazing, Bill.
I want to do that. I've wanted to do that all my life.
Yeah, me too. When I was growing up, I was hearing about Israel, and I finally... God blessed me and gave me the opportunity to go to Israel. And then we sent another crew back over there from here. They went over there. So we got to go over there again.
Well, I'd like to. Now, I had planned to go with a preacher in the Church of Christ. He's a great preacher named John Moore, and he's at the Bear Valley School of Preaching in Denver, Colorado.
Right.
And he organizes trips overseas. And so he has a website called Bible Passages, or Bible Land Passages. But anyway, he has a group going next year, so I've signed up to go, But that was right before all of this happened and right. unleashed, and so I don't know what's going to happen.
Let me ask, because of time, they voted, and the Democrat had voted to get a Muslim as their mayor there in New York. Some right. guy by the name Zeran Mamdani.
I saw his name too, and I'm gonna have to look at it and try it again. Yeah, myself, right?
Are the Muslims taking over America?
Yes, in a lot of ways they are.
And should we be concerned?
Yes, we should.
And why?
Because Islam teaches, I should say it this way, Muhammad, the one perfect Muslim, Muhammad taught that he is at war and Islam is at war with the rest of the world. So they divide the entire world into the house of peace, those who are Muslims, and the house of war, those who are not Muslims. And the goal is world domination. It's the same thing as communism, except it has a religious edge to it.
Americans, knowing that they see us as the big Satan and Israel as the little Satan, they even chant it on our own soil now. Why would Americans vote for their enemy whom will destroy them once they take over?
Well, we have been brainwashed in our public school system for many, many years to hate America, and we've heard nothing but hatred of America taught in history classes, English classes, government classes, whether it be at a high school level or whether it be at a college level. We've heard nothing but hatred of America. America's a slave state. America wants to take over the world. America did wrong to the American Indian, and how hatred of America, it just grows and grows. So that is something in common that Islam has with those people who are taught teaching in the colleges.
And so they're going to end up, will they end up taking over America?
I think America will probably be dissolved in some areas. Like, it's already being dissolved in places like New York. Well, we've got
Michigan, right, New York.
That's right. That's correct. They've already got Congress people,
yeah.
Congresswomen, who are hating America,
yep.
supposedly representing Americans.
Yep. So, Ilhan Omar, said, who's supposed to be a refugee from a bad country, right? She
right.
said something like, America is the worst country ever.
I'm right.
Like, so why are you here? Go back to that good country that you're supposed to have been a refugee from. She's in our government, and she's calling America the worst.
Right. She's brainwashed by Islam.
But why would they let a person like that in our government?
Well, we have had so many people who are ignorant about these issues. George W. Bush was ignorant about it. He went, you know, after 9/11, they had a big commission and said, what's the cause of all of this? And, you know, everything pointed to the teaching of Islam. But he did not want to say that. No,
right.
no.
He said it was a peaceful religion or something, right?
That's right. So he came out and said it's a peaceful religion. that's the cloak under yeah. which it under which the guys is. So it's, yeah.
Bill, your website.
The website is, well, I have American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. That has the donate button on it. And then Patriotic Pulpit is my podcast, and I talk about a lot of different things and a lot of religious things on there. And then Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood, that's what I have regarding the sermons that I have in the pulpit.
Amazing information today, as usual, Bill. Thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Jesse Lee. Appreciate
all
you.
Right. All right. Same all right. here.
Uh-huh.
I got to take a break, folks. Bye, Bill. I got to take a break. Back in a moment. Hate news, not
now,
the fake
I
news.
I totally disagree with the way things are going.
But you can't be angry, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit, and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger. because it has no love, bro. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature.
It's some serious mess going on in the world. If you didn't know, you heard it from Bill Lockwood. American Liberty with BillLockwood.com. Patriotic Pulpit on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube, as well as Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood on YouTube and Spotify. Shout out, regular guest on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. This is the end of hour one of Bible Thumper Thursday, June 26th, AD 2025. The lines are full, guys. We appreciate your calls. We will get to them. JLP will be right back for your calls in the second hour coming right up. But it is hate news, not fake news. And nice. If you missed it, make sure you do catch Punchy TV. Punchy TV with American Anchor Baby and Hake and Derek, the producer, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, and Bill the engineer. It was a great episode. We talked about Stéphane Molyneux's little argument, debate, with the Christians about forgiveness. It was pretty cool. I liked it. We did it live. So Punchy TV on YouTube, also on audio podcast. And it's on Jesse Lee Peterson's Rumble, the you YouTube haters. And we also did it live on Pilled.net. So cool. And shout out to the DLive crew. The Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports, in recent years, quarrels across the world have been hit by massive bleaching events. They say it's due to record high ocean temperatures. Since corals, C-O-R-A-L-S, support one quarter of all marine life, reduce storm surge, and they protect against erosion, it's important for humans to help them survive and thrive. So researchers are looking for super corals, quote unquote, species of corals that are more resilient to environmental changes, that they can handle the heat and the whatever, and seeding them along the Great Barrier Reef. What could go wrong? I have no idea. Maybe nothing, or maybe a lot. A lot of times, like just like what Bill Lockwood said about interventionism around the world, the stuff that the environmentalists are trying to do ends up messing stuff up too. But who knows? I don't. Commie Nonsense Network CNN reports that the Trump administration plans to limit further the administration's sharing of classified information with evil Congress after the supposed leak of an early so-called intelligence assessment that claimed that Trump's attack on Iran was not as successful as our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, claimed. Though the White on the Inside White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, I was pronouncing it Leavitt, but I think it's Leavitt, originally blamed the leak on an anonymous low-level loser in the intelligence community, so-called. The administration now believes the report was leaked after being posted to a system used for sharing classified intelligence with Congress, so said a senior so-called White House official. The Senate will receive a briefing on Iran today. The House briefing will be held Friday. Not the first time the White House has kept congressional leaders, particularly Democrats, in the dark about classified matters. Because the Democrats are irresponsible with info. They don't care about America. Anyway, although Trump and his team reportedly contacted top Republicans before the U.S. strikes, some key Democrats were not informed until after the attack. Seems sensible to me. Anyway, there's been judges. Judges are getting sued. Like all 15 federal judges in Maryland, the Trump administration so frustrated with the federal judiciary blocking its efforts to deport illegals without due process. No such thing, I say. Not that I know anything, you know. And they're trying a new tactic. They're suing these judges, all 15 of the federal judges in Maryland. Chief Judge George L. Russell III signed an order blocking the administration from removing immediately any of the U.S. illegals who filed paperwork with the Maryland District Court seeking a review for their detention. So we'll see what happens. Pretty interesting. Shout out to Trump trying to protect America. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, Hour 2.
Stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. It's the second hour of the show. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. My biblical question, a doozy. What kind of human being are you actually? What kind of human being are you actually? Isn't that an amazing question? Know thyself. Examine thyself. You'll be surprised what you will find. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And you can podcast the show if you're running around. We're here Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time and heard around the world. If you're a round earther, up and down the world if you're a flat earther. And so there are different time zones up and down the earth and around it. And some of you cannot listen because you may be asleep. But you can podcast. And just in case you want to wake up and listen, or you, hey, I want to listen while I'm running around, you can go to the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JOP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JOP talk or Bun JOP Cash App. Bun JOP Cash App. It's Thursday. It's the second hour of the show on Thursday. We take all calls, but Thursday, we are committed to taking the Bible thumpers calls on Thursday. We take them all the time, but we have a little bit more time with the Bible thumpers on Thursday. So it is, oh, Lord, Bible thumper Thursday. I can feel your pain. I can be your hero, baby. I can't take away your pain. Amazing. Bible Thumper Thursday, Bradley out of Indiana. Bradley, you're on the air. Brady, I mean, not Bradley, but Brady, my back.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Jesse?
All is well, Brady.
Love to hear it. I just got a couple questions about, I know you don't believe Jesus being God, right? And that you don't sin, right?
It's impossible to sin if you are of God.
Yeah, of God.
Yeah.
I think you brought up that scripture, John, I think it's 5:58, which I come at all this with an empty mind. I know nothing. It's the first thing I do know, you know? So I'm not a believer in the Trinity or nothing like that. But on the subject of Jesus being God, how do you interpret Philippians 2, I think it's verse 9, where it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and glory of the Father?
It's saying that he's the Son of, and he glorified God.
God
is the Father. Yeah, Jesus glorified his Father.
Okay.
You notice how they're talking about the Son and the Father?
Yes, sir. I do notice that. But what I believe, though, is that Jesus is, and I don't know if this is right or not, but Jesus is fully human, fully God, right? Because the Spirit of God dwelled inside of him. And he has a name above all names, which is Jesus Christ. And if there's a name above all names, wouldn't that mean that God's name is Jesus Christ?
What do you mean by he's fully human and fully God? What does that mean?
To me, basically, I would mean that he was born a human. He has flesh, so he was fully human. And as well as God's Spirit dwelled inside of him, the Father was inside of him.
So God was inside Jesus?
Yeah, doing all the works.
And so if God was inside of Jesus, how can he be God? How can Jesus be God if God was inside of him?
So where I get that from is basically where the verse, I think it's in John, where it says...
Why you want to believe that? You're finding reason to believe that Jesus is God, but yet you're saying that he's the Son of God.
I mean, I don't want to believe anything. It's just what I was, it's what I've been taught my whole life, and I don't know if it's true or not. I know nothing.
We've all been taught wrong in life. That's why everyone in life is failing, because they've been taught wrong.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So let me ask, what do you mean he's fully man and fully God? Where do you get that from?
It's just what I was been taught.
You said he was fully
human. Where I think he's God. Well, fully human is he's born a human, so that's where I get that from. He's a human.
Why do you call him fully human?
Fully human because he was a human. That's basically where I get that from.
But where do you get that fully human? Where are you that saying from?
That saying? Probably something I heard.
I'm sorry?
Probably just something I heard.
And why are you repeating it?
Because I basically view that as the words that encompass my thoughts about him.
Does the Bible call him fully human?
No, it doesn't. Not that I know of.
And so why do you repeat it?
Because, I don't know, that's just what encompasses my thoughts about Jesus. That he's fully human and he was fully God.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
And so why do you repeat that? It's nowhere in the Bible. He was fully human and fully God, but you're repeating it. Why? You said 28?
Yes, sir.
At your age, why are you still repeating that?
That's just the knowledge that I've obtained.
And when will you overcome that knowledge?
When I get the knowledge that reveals something beyond that the Holy Spirit reveals to me.
Would you prefer the knowledge of that or the understanding?
Both. The understanding, I prefer the understanding over the knowledge.
And so if you don't let go of the knowledge, how will you ever get the understanding?
Oh, I'm willing to let go of the knowledge, that's for sure. That's why I'm calling. You guys got questions.
Why don't you let it go there?
Because I need the knowledge. I need your knowledge, Jesse, I guess. Whatever. What makes me think that he's fully human or fully God is he's a human. And then the God part comes from whenever he's talking to the Pharisees and he's telling them that Abraham was glad of my days. And they're like, well, you're not 50 years old yet. You've never seen Abraham. And then he goes, he says, even before Abraham, I am. He basically says that, he was God when he says, I am.
He didn't say, I am God. He said, I am.
Yeah, he said, I am.
So why are you saying he said, I am God? He never said him. He didn't basically say that. He didn't imply that. Why are you saying that he said, I am God?
Because I wouldn't view it as he implied it. Because he said the same thing that Moses was talking and asking him, what is his name? And he said, I am.
But the truth and the never Pharisees implied. Thought he was truth doesn't imply anything. The truth is the truth. It doesn't imply, implicate, or anything. Why are you implying that?
Because that's just what I thought. So what do you take from that verse?
Let me ask you this person that I respect. Are you black?
I'm black and Mexican, yes, sir.
You black and Mexican?
Yes, sir.
You sound all black.
Nah, I'm not all black. Black and Mexican.
Habla español?
Un poco.
Sí. What was your question?
How do you view that verse when he says, I am? When the Pharisees try to stone him after that as well, because they basically thought he was saying he was God as well.
In him, there was no time. He is. There's only now. That's what he was saying. There's no past of him and no future of him. All he is right now.
There was no past to him, even though he was saying that in the past that they were glad in his days?
Right. There's no past in him.
In him.
He is just now. He is.
So what was he meaning when he was saying Abraham and them were glad in his days?
I don't know. I'm not really got concerned.
Okay.
Why are you concerned about that?
No, it's just because to me it just sounded like he was saying he was God, you know? So that's why I was concerned about it.
I know, but
it.
In your mind and what you've been taught, you're hearing that. Even though that's not what he said at all. But that's what you heard, and you've been taught that. And so when you think that way, and when you read something that's not even there, and that's why you would never know God as long as you are into ideas about God, belief, and thoughts. You are separated from Christ and the Father. Those
so what's your viewpoint
you
on Christ?
Those things separate you from God. And put a distance between you and Christ. So what?
What is your viewpoint on Christ then? Because I'm just trying to get an overscope of everything. That's what I've been dealing with, trying to basically understand who God was, who the Son is, and who the and I know what the Holy Spirit is. It's just the Spirit of the Lord. So that one's pretty easy. But what's your view on Christ?
He is the Son of God. And in him, he was sent by God to bring us a message, to let us know that we have been bought for, paid for, and that we are free, and that we can live now because of him. He came down. The Father sent him so that he could buy us back by giving himself to hell so that we can he can buy us back, and now we're free.
So when you
and
pray,
those
who
are you
believe,
praying to? And those who believe the message that was sent by the Father through the Son will enter, and through the message, when you can see the message that he bring, through that you go back to the Father.
So who is the Father? Do you know the name of the Father?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Dad.
Dad.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Dad.
So when you pray, you just say you're praying to Daddy?
When I pray, I be still and know.
And you know?
Yeah, you can see.
You can see?
Yeah.
So do you have a relationship with Daddy?
With who?
With Daddy?
If it wasn't for him, I would not exist.
Do you have a relationship with him?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
And when you call him, do you ever talk to him? Or, like, not talk? I know he don't talk to you, but have you ever talked to him?
He does talk to me. And once in a while, I go, what the?
And well, he talk, but not audibly, right?
Yeah, I was like, what the? That's amazing.
He audibly talked to you?
No, I said I ought to believe, talk to him sometime by saying, that's amazing. Or what? Do you want to know God?
I'd love to know God, sir.
Okay.
The only point of life, right?
The only way you're going to know him, you got to know hell. And you got to know and go through the hell that's inside of you. And when you know hell, you will know heaven. Have you started working on the hell inside of you?
No, sir, I haven't. What is that, a movie?
And why haven't you done that?
Wait, have I started looking at the hell inside of me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've looked at that in, for the past couple of years, and I understand the hell inside of me, for sure.
And what does it look like?
Death and darkness.
And so have you forgiven your parents?
Have I forgiven my parents? I would say so, yeah.
You've gone to your parents and forgiven them?
Have I told them I forgive them? No, I haven't, but I have forgiven them.
And why haven't you gone to your mother and father and forgiven them, especially your mother, for what she's done to you? Why haven't you done that?
I just didn't have it on the list of my must-dos, I guess.
I'm sorry?
I just didn't have it on the list of my must-dos, I guess.
How will you... Excuse me. How will you enter into the kingdom of heaven if you don't go and forgive your mother?
So I need to actually tell her I forgive her to forgive her? Is that what you're saying?
That's what God said.
That's what God said?
He said in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must go and forgive.
Go and forgive. Okay. So does that mean we have to forgive? We have to go and forgive everybody, or why is it just our parents?
Because they don't want to set you up for failure. Your mother turned you away from God.
Yeah, I know that to be true. I've already forgiven her for it, so I know that to be true. I just guess I got to go to her and forgive her.
And why have you done that?
I don't know. I just didn't think I had to actually tell her, but with the verse that you just told me, I guess I do have to tell her.
So you know all this other stuff about Jesus and... But you have not read, in order to forgive, you must go and forgive to enter into the kingdom. You never read that?
No, I've never read that. I thought the verse was basically you have to forgive to be forgiven.
You do?
I understand that. I just didn't know it said go and forgive.
Yes.
Like, go to that person and forgive them.
If you hold anything against them, you must go and forgive them. Then you can enter into the kingdom of heaven.
I can see that.
Will you go and forgive your mother?
Yes, sir. I will go and forgive my mother. I forgive her already, but I'll go tell her for sure.
Does that make you nervous?
No, not really. I've given up all the feelings and stuff that goes against God. Anything that has to do with God, I'll go do. I don't care about any feelings or reparations about it.
So you're not concerned? Not really. You're not afraid to go and forgive your mother?
Important security message. Your computer has been locked up. Your IP address was used without your knowledge or consent to visit websites that contains identity theft.
I don't know. They warning us.
You're getting hacked over there?
I like it. Nick is on it now. I got to run, but do what you want, but I recommend you go and apologize to your mother for resenting her for turning you away from your father, and then forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother. And,
yes,
and,
sir.
And do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer, and just watch, overcome the hell by watching the hell inside of you. Go through that hell, and heaven is on the other side of hell.
Yes, sir. I got one question about sinning. When you say you don't sin, do you mean that you don't break the laws of God, like you do everything that you view as right to do?
I don't have a hatred of my heart toward anyone. And so I don't judge people. I don't I understand them now. And so salvation is of the heart, and it's the heart that wicked. And when you forgive, then God will change your nature from the nature of Satan to his nature. But you got to forgive. The heart must change. And he will change the heart when you see that you're evil. Anyone that's angry is evil. And when you can see that and go and forgive, he will change the heart, and he will also change everything else about you.
Okay, for sure, for sure. I appreciate you, Justin.
You're welcome. Let me know how it goes.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
You too, buddy. 888-7753-773-888. Jesse. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. Let me go to Joe out of Boston. Joe, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Two quick things. One, I wanted to call and give you my diagnosis.
Speak up a little bit.
First, I wanted to
call. Are you on the speakerphone or something, Joe?
No, no. Can you hear me?
Yeah, speak right into your phone.
Is this good?
That, yeah, exactly.
First, I was going to call and give you my diagnosis, but you've been diagnosed to death.
That's for sure.
Oh, my God. Lord have mercy, Jesse. You scared us all. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The second thing is I was a little disappointed. This is just my opinion in which side Bill took. Thank God, you know, God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. And thank God he did not consult with Congress, because they get a whiff of intelligence and they're in the hallway on the telephone selling it to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
It's very scary. So
that's a very good point. I wish I had thought of that. I'll ask Bill that next time.
And real quick, when you always say what's wrong, what's going on in America, it's ideological subversion, and it's a psychological warfare. And the best explanation of it is in that movie you were in, Uncle Tom 1 and Uncle Tom 2, explains exactly why America is in the position it's in.
Yep. Absolutely.
And those, yeah, it was perfect. It just shows how communists, Marxists, socialists, whatever, how they have infiltrated us. Because you can't, like you say, you can't deceive a man who knows the truth.
Right.
And you can't hurt a man who knows the truth. Like, when I saw you have that episode, you know, men of God, I don't fear death. I'm going home.
Yep.
I'm going home. I almost welcome it. I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid of it, because I know I'm going back home. I'm going to see my father and my brother.
Oh, amazing.
All right, Jesse, thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Oh, have amazing. A good day.
All right. If y'all miss Bill all kind of Bill names popping up in the first hour this morning, make sure you podcast it, all right? Bill Lockwood was on fire today. It was amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Joe out of the UK. Joe, you're on the air. Hey, Joe from the UK. No, Joe. Going once. Going twice. Gone. Joe, call back just in case there, all right? Let me go to first time call. Lang out of South Carolina. Lang, you are on the air.
Hey, Mr. Justin, how you doing?
All is well, Lane.
All is well. Amazing.
Amazing.
Well, I just wanted to ask.
Ask.
since you talk a lot about, I've just started listening to your stuff, and I think it's really profound, and I think you're doing great work. But I just wanted to ask about how you say that men need to return to their fathers, forgive their fathers.
Men and women.
And, yeah, men and women, and their mothers as well. But how, I just want to know, how would that look, say, if their father was absent from their life, or their father was abusive? Like, how would that look?
So which one was it? Was he abusive or absent?
We'll say abusive, and then can we go absent after that?
Your father was abusive to you?
No, not me in particular. No, not me, but I'm just saying in general.
Well, why are you concerned about that if he wasn't abusive to you?
It's just something I thought of.
Why?
I wonder how you'd respond to that.
But why did you think of that?
Because I might. It's just I'd like to know how that would play out.
Let's say that your father was abusive, just for conversation's sake, and you got to forgive him so that you can overcome that by forgiving him, and then you will be forgiven and you'll be fine.
Right.
Are you on the speaker, Joe? I mean, Lane?
Am I on the, what do you mean?
Are you on a speaker phone or Bluetooth or something?
No, I'm speaking into my phone.
Okay, because I hear an echo. Hold on a minute. I'm going to let Derek work it out. Don't hang up. Let me try Joe again from the UK. Joe, let's try it again.
Hey there, Jesse. Can you hear me?
I can now.
I'm sorry about that. Do you know, I think it might have been that computer virus, whatever happened on the phone.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Amazing.
But yeah, all right. The question I had was about, was there ever a point when you were sort of like overcoming where everything started to lose its meaning? Like nothing had any real meaning that you could lean on anymore. Just sort of all of it went away.
That's still happening. There's so much because we've been so dumbed down and lied to and set up to fail in life. There's so much to uncover. I mean, to overcome. So it's still happening even now.
All right, that's interesting. Does it feel like, well, that happens to you still to this day, you're saying? So
meaning that like, I'm always seeing things that I did not realize was happening or has happened to me and all human beings. But I'm free from it. I have peace. I have perfect peace, but there's so much. We've been so dumbed down and brainwashed, Joe, starting with our parents. They have literally set us up to fail in life, to suffer, and to never have a good life.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's true.
It was because they hate us. They have no love. Parents, and especially mothers, parents and fathers too, to be honest, do not love their children at all. That's why they set them up to fail.
Yeah, that's funny, man. I mean, you know what? I mean, I've seen a lot of that too. And luckily, I kind of found you when I did because it gave me sort of like the eyes to see it in a proper way.
Yes.
So I could respond to it in a proper way and sort of not just, continue being angry with it. But I saw that too. I saw that in my upbringing as well. So I can definitely see what you're saying there.
It happens and is happening in every family, every human being, generation after generation after generation. And that's why everybody have the same problems. Situations may be a little different, but they have the same problems. And then they try to solve those problems with the same solutions, failing solutions that would never work, but they keep trying to do the same thing over and over again. Every human being have the same problem.
Yeah, that's very true, Jesse. Do you know what? Can I ask you just another continue about that question with meaning, right?
Hold on one minute. Can you hold for me?
Yeah, sure.
Let me take a quick break. Back in a moment. Quick. Back in a moment. Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free, just like that, at an instant. Bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. Bible Thursday went off. God's children get to heaven. What a time. What a time. What a time. Bible Thumper Thursday. Listen up. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11. The guy with the good hair. And he is not afraid of the blacks. What now? And then after that, the American Anchor Baby. Energy given to him, not alone, is a gift by God. You see, Donald Trump has it. The American Anchor Baby has it too. From 11 to 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The American Anchor Baby. It's summertime. Listen up. I need your help. So I need to come up with $50,000 for the summer to take us through the summer. Because normally donations and things are down a little bit. People on vacation, they forget to donate or whatever happens. And so we still have to pay bills. We have to pay payroll and light and gas and whatever else. So I need to raise $50,000. I'm asking you to hurry, 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 and give towards, if you can get a whole thing, thank you, or more. But whatever you can give to get us to the $50,000 mark, I need your help. Help us to help others and get us through the summer. By going to rebuildingdemand.com/donate, or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. Or you can mail it in, make the check or money out, money order out to Bond, B-O-N-D, P.O. Box 35090. L.A., California, 90035. That's P.O. Box 35090. L.A., California, 90035. If you can give more than $50,000, that will get us all the way through the summer. Because our work continues. And even though you are on vacation. What? And so help us to help others while you are vacationing. All right? $50,000, if you can make the whole, or you can give 10 or 5 or whatever you can give. RebuildingDemand.com/donate. RebuildingDemand.com/donate, or call 800-411-BOND. And thank you all. I know you're going to help, so thank you. I and check out Punchin' TV. We have a brand new episode up there. It was done live yesterday on Monday. I mean Tuesday, Wednesday. What the time going by so fast? Punchy, P-U-N-C-H-I-E .tv. So check it out. You will not be disappointed. I'm going to go quickly back to Joe out of the UK. Joe, you say you had another question or comment?
Yes, I did. It was about meaning, right? So my other question was, is it wrong to seek meaning?
I don't even know how you do that.
Okay.
How do you do something like that?
When I say that, it's like if I don't understand something, you know, having like the want to understand it, if that makes sense, you know, wanting to understand something, wanting
it's enough to know that you can, you don't understand something, and that's all you need to know. Don't add all this other stuff to it. All you're doing is taking on other identities because you're making a right and a wrong situation. You're creating another identity which would not allow you to understand. So it's enough to know, I don't understand that, and leave it as that, and you're fine.
Okay. I get you. I understand. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you for your time, Jesse.
You're welcome, Joe. Amazing. Take care. All right. 888-775-3773. Lane phone is ready now. First time caller, Lane. Let's try it again, Lane.
Are we back?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess that first question didn't really apply much to me, so can I ask a different one?
Yes.
So, now this one definitely applies to me. I've been hearing you talk about how you need to become free of your thoughts, and your thoughts aren't you. So I was wondering, what advice could you give to somebody who's still pretty young like myself and trying to get on that righteous path and free of thoughts?
How old are you?
I'm 19.
I highly recommend you go and forgive your mother. Have you done that yet?
So actually, two nights ago, I did, but I didn't go into any detail. I just told her that I forgive her, so I probably should go and like explain why I'm forgiving her, correct?
And no, you don't need to explain why, because it's enough for you to see that I am angry. I resent my mother. And then when you see that, you realize you can't help yourself, that this anger has been controlling you, and it caused you to realize your mother could not help herself. And go and apologize for resenting her, but don't have no expectation how the conversation going to go. Don't worry about it. But you're going there just to apologize, because anyone that has anger is evil, and so you're admitting that your heart is wicked. And you're going there to forgive her, and God will forgive you and make you free. In the same way with your father, because she turned you away from your father, that's why you've been turned away from God. Because it's impossible to know or love God and hate your earthly father. So forgive him for not protecting you from your mother, and do the silent prayer. And you'll see that all thoughts are all lies all the time. Those thoughts about feel good thoughts or feel bad thoughts. All those thoughts are all lies. You stop identifying with them.
Right. Amazing.
All amazing. But you got to face your mother first and father.
Okay, so I got to forgive mother and father.
Yeah. And then from that point forward, do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer, and just watch those thoughts. Those thoughts, psychological, emotional thoughts, are nothing but hell. And so watch the hell in you. Don't call it you anymore, and you will overcome it. The light will destroy the darkness.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Jesse. That was great to hear.
I wish you well. You work on you, especially at 19. by the time you're 25, you'll be walking on water.
Yes, sir. I hope. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Jesse. God bless you, and you have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Super chat.
Super chats.
Nice. Over on YouTube, AKP yesterday says, hearing Jesse say actually is adorable.
Actually, it is. No, I'm playing. Thank you.
Chillin' Lean says, answer to the biblical question.
What kind of human being are you actually?
And he, Chillin' Lean says, not the body and not the mind and not the emotions.
I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
And Lori bought a coffee. Hey, Jesse, biblical question answer.
What kind of human being are you actually?
Only
I'm getting better than we're actually.
Right. Only type
amazing.
Of, only type of human being is evil. I'm actually just being overcoming. Just a being overcoming this human illusion mess.
Amazing. Thank you. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday.
Three coffees from Free Your Mind. Morning, Jesse and crew.
If you free your mind, the rest will follow.
I'm starting to ask.
Ask!
Ask God to remove my anger without any expectations and knowing it's not God. Do you have any advice on this?
That's it. Just ask and leave it alone. Don't try to figure out how it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. Just ask, and the Father hear your request, and he'll take care of it. Amazing.
P.S. I had feelings, beta, when I seen you collapse. Please take care of yourself. I wish you well, Jesse. Heart and praying hands.
Thank you. I am working on it now. You know what? As a result of that happening, I have been getting so much amazing information from around the world. And so I'm sorting it all out, and we'll see what happens. Thank you.
And Anthony on Cash App, Arab Muslim illegals more dangerous than Mexicans.
You say that again. What? Amazing. Thank you.
On Punchy TV live stream yesterday, shout out to Crackito, Cracktor, Kilo Alpha Tango, Triple Alerter, 5000. And Misty for the lemons and ice creams.
Thank y'all. Amazing.
Maroney Music asks, sin isn't the action, but identifying with the action? So taking responsibility is sin? Asks Maroney.
What's that?
This was from the Punchy live stream.
Oh.
Sin isn't the action, but identifying with the action? So taking responsibility is sin? Double question mark.
That's something you guys said or something?
I guess so.
Because I don't understand the question.
Right.
I don't understand. I wasn't on Punchy yesterday, so you can blame the people on Punchy.
The views expressed on Punchy TV do not represent Bond, JLP, the network,
that's right.
Or even ourselves.
I do know that the sin is in the mind. It is not in the action. It's in the thoughts. It's in the mind. It's committed in the mind. That's why you could be walking down the road and look at a woman in the wrong way and you have sinned because it happened in the mind. You made a decision. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you to Aries One, who says truth bomb. This was a few weeks ago. And Jabrail.
Thank you, by the way, truth bomb.
Yeah, Jabrail. Says thanks.
And
that was a few months ago. That was on Punchy TV. Those were super thanks, which sometimes slip through the cracks.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Jim in Alaska on Punchy.TV. I got out of the Air Force after 10 plus years because of Bill Clinton's military policies with equal opportunity training all the time. And we could not discipline troops who were not born in this country without receiving retaliation from the higher-ups. And it seemed all the white guys were the ones being deployed.
Amazing.
Indeed.
Thank God, the Great White Hope. Think about what manner of man is Donald Trump, the Great White Hope, right? He's the Great White Hope. He is a king. They call him king. They even had rallies shouting to the king. And now they call him daddy. What? And the whole world obeys him. What manner of man is this? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Jim in Alaska says, I agree with your caller. If you're standing a long time, just don't lock your knees. And if you're hot, take off the jacket, smiley. Like I said above in an earlier post, it looks very familiar from my military days. Guys would fall out from locking their knees, standing at, for long periods.
I've been hearing this a whole lot. I had no idea that passing out like that was happening to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I thought Joe Biden was the only one that was falling. But apparently the world is falling. So thank you very much.
Shout out to Games for Rec, Wolf336, Kid Combo 1, Kilo Alpha Tango, Misty, Groovy Monkey for the support over there on the DE Live crew.
Thank you.
David says, good morning, America. Love from Norway.
Thank you. Her around the world by everybody. And they mama if you're black, and their mama if you're white, and then around the world if you're around the world earther, and up and down the world if you're a flat earther. So that should cover everyone. Thank you.
David asks, what's wrong with the Jews?
What's wrong with the Jews? Amazing.
Captain Something, welcome. JLP show member on J.C. Lee Peterson YouTube.
Thank you. Amazing.
Wake up call. Happy Bible Thumper Thursday, Jesse. My favorite day of the week.
Nice. I love Bible Thumper Thursday. Thank you.
Nick says, Jesse, I've been watching a while. Showed my girlfriend your videos. Now all we say is, what the? Keep up the good work. Watch you every morning.
Thank you. Thanks for your support as well. Thank you.
Lin Yen Shin says, all that nasty gasping. Someone please teach Bill Lockwood how to use his nose instead of his mouth for breathing. It's disgusting and renders poor, common, and poor sense of syntax. It's child abuse.
Gasping?
Yeah, breathing through your mouth. He calls it gasping.
Bill, we're doing that?
I didn't pick up on it, but he says it every single time Bill's on.
Why don't you pay attention to the message and not the mouth? What?
He sometimes calls him Bill Trashwood.
He doesn't like Bill?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He might like him.
Oh, Lord. Maybe don't mean disliking people, man.
Maybe he likes him. He just...
No wonder you are mad about the way you speak rather than the message. You can't even hear the message. What the? Thank you, though.
John Rango says, cool to see you on the Foxhole. This is on Pilled.net.
Nice.
Also known as the Foxhole. This is the best platform to be on by far.
And why is that?
Well, for one thing, it's veteran-owned.
Oh, nice.
Pilled.net.
We love the vets.
Jesse Lee Peterson.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Pure.net/Jesse Lee Peterson.
That's right.
Thank you.
Wake Up Call says, shout out to Bill Lockwood. What a way to start the show.
I know. Bill was on fire, unless you hate him and you're talking about the way he speaks.
Or breathe. And he gives a Billy Goat emoji, cowboy, Chinese entrance thing, Jewish Star of David, and black spade emojis.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you.
Lin Yen Chin, Jesse, stop claiming people can create. Even aliens like China cannot create, also known as instantly manifest something from nothing. Only nothing/God can.
What are you talking about now?
Because you said that human beings create maybe mess. I don't know what you said that human beings create or something like that.
I have no idea.
But you use the term, the word create sometimes.
And so...
And you're abusing language.
And how do you communicate if you don't use the word?
You have to use a different word. You can say make.
And can we do that without breathing? Through your mouth.
Can you breathe through your nose?
No.
Let me see if you try. Oh, you did it perfectly. Wow.
Amazing. Thank you.
Tyrannosaurus Rex, good morning, Jesse. Nice.
That's good morning. Thank you.
That's on Pilled. Be rebuked, says Jamil. Hake, Nick, and Joelle do a nice show, but they don't work nearly enough on promoting. They don't post clips online and barely post anything on X. Well, I think they would be a lot more popular if they put themselves out there and don't be afraid to make mistakes or say the wrong thing. It's something I would like to see, but it's up to you guys. With love, Jamil.
Very good advice.
Thank you, sir.
Jamil, that was out of the park. Advice. Thank you. Really, thank you. I tell them the same thing, but I tell them the same thing, but they...
That was Nick. Anthony on Cash App. Arab Muslim illegals. Oh, no, I already said that. He said, hey, get that Bible thumper away from my front door. He says.
Amazing. Thank you. I got to stop there.
All right.
I want to go to. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yeah, very much. I want to go to New Jersey and talk to Jamel. Jamel, you are on the air.
Yes, sir. What up, Jesse? How are you today?
All is well.
I got a quick question, because I never heard you break this down, but I've heard you say Jesus never had anger and stuff. Could you break down the flipping of the table? Was that an emotional thing?
No.
What was that in your perspective?
Why is that important to you about the flipping of the table?
It's not actually important to me. I just wanted the Bible thump.
Oh.
And I never heard your explanation for it, and I don't know, like, if someone asked me it.
Well, no, he wasn't.
I also.
Jesus had no anger. In him was nothing but love.
Right.
He had and has the nature of God. And in God, there is no anger either. It's only love. There's only anger in evil, in Satan. And anyone that has anger is one with evil. And that's why they're angry.
That's a good point. I was mainly asking, so if he flipped the table, what do you think he was feeling like?
Nothing.
If he wasn't angry.
Zero. Well,
so he wasn't feeling anything.
No.
That's an interesting perspective.
The nature of God is a dispassionate God. So his son was dispassionate. The nature of Satan is passion. The children of Satan feel things. They feel happy. They feel sad. They feel good. They feel bad. They feel a false sense of freedom, and then they feel enslaved. The nature of Satan and his children are into feelings.
Into feelings. And
yeah.
I 100% agree with that. And I also, one more thing about that is the when Jesus wept, could he have wept without feeling anything?
100%.
100%?
Yeah,
okay.
He only did it because he saw that the people could not see that they were asleep.
Right. And that makes total sense because this is kind of off topic, but I remember in Genesis there was a part where God said that at one point human beings only had evil thoughts all the time.
Yes.
And it brought me back to what you teach a lot, and I was like, dang. Like, that is totally believable because, and I think it's kind of like that now. Maybe there's, like, a few decent people, but most of us is pretty much thinking evil, like, 90% of the time.
100%. Human nature, which is the nature of Satan, is pure evil. There's nothing in them that's good. And that's why God and his son said, you cannot trust an angry person. An angry person is a murderer. Their whole nature is evil.
Right.
There's nothing good about them at all.
That's deep. That's deep, man. That's deep. I love the message.
Thank you. You stay with it.
Love the message, man.
You stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, all right?
Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Love you, man.
Love you,
too. Keep up the good work.
All right, I will. Peace. I got to take a break. The hate news, not the fake news. And one more hour to go. I'll be back in a moment to your phone calls and super chats. The hate news, not the fake news. Back in a moment. Anytime you have situations happening in your life, always be still. Don't overreact. Most of the people that I know, they say, oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm an observer. And as soon as something don't go their way, they get mad. I'm like, what the? If you overreact, folks, remember to do that. Don't overreact. And when you get mad, it's your problem. It ain't your wife's problem, your husband's problem, your neighbor, your friend, your preacher, your teacher. It's your problem. Why do you think you tick? It didn't go your way or the way you think it should go. Don't have a way you think it should go. Let life just happen. Thoughts make you think that life should go the way you want it to go. And if it doesn't, if someone don't do or say or act the way you think they should act, you hate them. And then you blame them for being mad. It's the darndest thing I ever seen. But it's amazing to see it. So relax.
some serious mess going on in the world. According to some judge, another Salvadoran male was wrongfully removed by the Trump administration, through whom we have righteously been deporting a lot of illegals, or some anyway, and a 79-year-old murderer and kidnapper, or former murderer and former kidnapper. Maybe he's repented. But he was given capital punishment in Mississippi. And nice. So a whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Bible Thumper Thursday. There's one line open. You can call in right now. Even during fake news, not fake news, but hang tight callers who are on hold. And super chatters, we do see your super chats coming in. We will get to more of your super chats, hopefully in the coming hour, the third and final hour of today's Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is fake news, not fake news right now. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, thehakereport.com. And I'm going to have a guest today. Krishan the Don of the Misfit Nation is returning. He will be taking your calls if you'd like to call in. We will read and respond to your super chats is the plan. TheHakereport.com. And then American Anchor Baby is happening at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Network. American Anchor Baby on YouTube, Rumble, and Punchy.tv. Support him on buymeacoffee.com/anchorbaby right now. You can run on over right now even when he's not live. That's the benefit of buymeacoffee.com/anchorbaby. Very cool. Commie Nonsense Network CNN reports that a federal appeals court has ordered the Trump administration to facilitate, quote-unquote, the return of a Salvadoran male. They call him a man. Who was deported last month just 30 minutes after the same court ruled that he should not be removed from the United States. Jordin Melgar hyphen Salmeron, age 31, nice American name, not, is at least the fourth individual to be removed wrongly, so claim commie nonsense, from the United States. Despite court rulings or protected status, protected illegals, you do the math. In court documents, the U.S. government acknowledged that a perfect storm of errors occurred to allow for the petitioner's untimely and inadvertent removal despite the government's assurance and eventual stay order, unquote. Who knows? Who knows? I know I don't know. These evil people who are keeping the illegals here and foreigners here. Against America. And a Mississippi execution, a 79-year-old male man, not a mailman, but a man who is a male, we use the term man loosely, convicted decades ago of kidnapping and murder. He was executed. He was given capital punishment, the death penalty, Wednesday in Mississippi. Richard Gerald Jordan, sentenced to death in 1976. That's like older than most of us. It's like 50 years ago, right? 2020. Almost 50 years ago, 49 years ago, sentenced to death for kidnapping and killing Edwina Marter, M-A-R-T-E-R, a bank loan officer's wife, in a violent ransom scheme. He was the longest so-called serving man on the state's death row, 49 years almost, or plus or minus, right? It should have happened a long time ago, said Eric Marter, son of the victim, told AP before the execution. I wonder if Eric Marter, the son, is... son of the victim. Okay, never mind. I was wondering. Anyway. So, yeah, rest in peace, Edwina Marter. Rest in peace, too, to Richard Gerald Jordan. Justice delayed is justice denied, they say. I don't know what that means, but justice should be swift, right? Anyway, residents in Santa Monica, California, say that flashing lights, backup beeps, and horns on the Waymo robo-taxis are keeping them up at night. Maybe they should have a 10 p.m. curfew. Waymos, you can't be in there after 10 p.m. And you can't be there before 4 a.m. I don't know. Just a suggestion. I'm James Hakenabach, GOP, Hour 3. We'll be right back.
have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth, instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show. What the is you can get involved by calling 888-77-5373. 888-77-Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question, a doozy. What kind of human being are you actually? What kind? Have you ever thought about what kind of human being am I actually? Not what you say you, what are you actually like? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you are running around and you're not able to just sit and watch the show because you got to be here, got to be there, or you're working out, or whatever, you can call, you can podcast the show, but you can be listening on the listen line at 605-615-4131 by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live on your iPhone or iPad, 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App or BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. It is Thursday. And every Thursday, we take all calls. But Thursday, let it be known. Are you in pain? You are? That's from lifting weight. What's wrong with you? Huh? What? Nick been lifting weight. Lord have mercy. And now he all in pain. Lord have mercy. Everybody in pain from lifting weight. What's up, baby Jessica's daddy? What the? It's Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. Look at, turn around and look at these people.
I got what I wanted from the Lord.
From the Lord.
I'm going back to Washington. Oh, yes, I will. I'm a Southern Baptist. They don't believe in tongues, but God said it. I want it.
Amazing. The Lord said, and I won. I have a question for my experts. And they didn't know I was going to ask. And I thought, you know what? What a better way to start out this hour of the show with my experts. And so coming into the studio as I speak, and they didn't know, but they can hear me saying it, is the host of the, and I'm going to give him a minute. He need a minute. You want to need a minute? Huh?
As long as you're not going to take the whole hour.
No, I'm not taking the whole hour. But, Alpha. Huh?
Alpha.
Alpha what?
Alpha beta.
You're Alpha?
Yes.
Amazing. So my experts are here. To my far left and your right, the host of the Hake Report, Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time, on fire. The guy with the good hair, James Hake, and an expert on the Destin Lee Peterson Show. And in the middle, to my far right and your left, the producer of the Destin Lee Peterson Show. And expert on the Destin Lee Peterson. Derek.
How's it going? How's it going? Good morning.
Guten Morgen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And he's known now as the young, what?
Nazi coon, I thought.
Coon, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Nazi. He's a coon.
My chain.
He is everything.
My chain's on the way.
Amazing.
Nice.
And then to my far right and your far left, the host of the...
Nice, thanks.
American Anchor Baby. Monday through Friday from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. And an expert here on the Destin Lee Peterson Show. Number one, Derek, I start with you.
Right on.
Christ said, you don't have to be you any longer. What do you mean by that?
Meaning I don't have to try to work. I don't have to do anything. I can lean only on him.
Christ said, Hake, that you don't have to be you any longer. And what do you mean? What does that mean to you?
It means that you don't have to be hung up on. You don't have to be stop being so full of yourself, basically. And you can stop. That's what it means to me.
You say you can or can't?
You can.
You can stop.
Mm-hmm.
And Anchor Baby, Christ said you don't have to be you any longer. What does that mean to you?
I think it means that there's nothing you have to wait on anymore. There's nothing you need to wait on. There's no moment that's going to happen. There's no, like, magical moment, you know, that will change your life. You just have to repent. You just have to stop. There's no outside thing. I think that's what it means to me, that there's no outside thing, no event that's going to happen. There's nothing to wait on. There's nothing to pray on anymore and, like, read about and study about anymore. You just have to repent and stop whatever this is.
Right.
And that you can stop. He's telling us that that's actually available to us. That's an option.
I think that is... To add to what all you have said, I think that's so deep. I don't even know. I think about that all the time now.
Mm.
Christ said, you don't have to be you any longer. Not you got to wait till tomorrow not to be you. Right now, you don't have to be you anymore. Any longer. Isn't that amazing?
It's so deep.
And so, Anka, you want to add to the hate?
I have a question about when and where did he say this?
I'm drinking water.
Why didn't you drink the water that I gave you?
Because I put that stuff in it.
Electrolytes?
Yeah. Mm. I'm following instruction, buddy.
Okay.
He's not passing out.
Out of a red Solo cup.
That's
water.
Is that bad?
Usually when people drink out of a red Solo cup, it's beer.
Oh, I've never drank beer. I ain't never drank beer at all.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding around.
I remember one time as a teenager, I was up at the honky tonk.
What is that?
You don't know what a honky tonk is?
Honky tonk?
Honky tonk.
Honky tonk. I have no idea what that is.
He doesn't know his culture.
Come on, you black.
I'm black, but I'm not that black.
Martin Luther King Jr.?
I'm black, but I'm not that black.
He's country, but he's not that country.
Yeah, I'm not that country. I'm black. I'm not.
So you really don't know what a honky tonk is?
I mean, I heard of it, but I really just don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been to one.
What that is?
Do you know what it is, Nick?
What that is?
What that is? Come on now. Racism, knock
Inland
it off.
Inland people would say, where you at?
I don't know. I think I've heard it in language, though. Someone say,
like,
oh,
song titles.
Let's go to the honky tonk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I heard
What's that.
That
song?
Yeah.
What was that song? It's like
Honky Tonk Train.
It's a little honky tonk.
Honky Tonk Woman.
You know what it
American
is?
American Honky Tonk Bar Association.
Yeah. Is it a honky tonk or a hootenanny?
Honky tonk.
Oh, okay.
And you go to have a hootenanny of a time.
Oh, okay.
At the honky tonk.
At the honky tonk.
It's like a party in a barn.
Sylvan Zing, Honky Tonk Train.
You know where it is, hey?
I mean, I just figure it's a place where blacks mostly will go dance and listen to, like, ragtime and honky tonk music.
Right. They call honky tonk a club nowadays. Mm. But it used to be called Hunky Tonk. And we used to go there on the weekend and dance and party and have a good time. And then at the end, we go buy a chicken sandwich.
A chicken sandwich?
At 2 o'clock in the morning. It's so good. The chicken sandwich was delicious at the Hunky Tonk.
Was it at a barn or was it?
It's a type of bar.
Yeah, it was at a club, at a bar light. But it was a club when you pour that.
Okay.
I can't believe you don't know what a honky tonk.
I've never been to one.
What kind of black is you?
I'm a city black.
And what kind of
Philly?
A music?
A city black.
And these two are into music too.
I know.
And they don't know their
allegedly.
They don't know their Afro American music history.
I thought I did.
But I had a couple of cousins who dropped out of high school.
Oh wow! Not high school.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And they used it, so they went and got jobs. They bought cars and
they
started living their life early. And they used to go to the honky tonk every weekend.
Yeah.
And so on a Friday, I went with them, and I was a teenager, and they were drinking beer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna drink some beer tonight. I threw up. It was so nasty.
Oh, so you did have beer.
And so I threw up in the car.
Yeah.
On the way home.
Yeah.
And my cousin was so mad. Hey, Pete! Shout out to Pete. He was so mad at me, he left me in the car at night. I had thrown up in his car. And from that day forward, I never drank beer. The idea of beer made me sick.
Mm.
It's like getting on a boat and getting seasick.
Yeah.
And then the idea of getting on a boat again makes you seasick. It was like that. But the honky tonk, so I never drank beer again.
And how old were you?
About 16.
Man, the country people and their underage shenanigans. I don't know if they had laws back then, though.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Anybody, ain't no law was out that you couldn't drink beer at a certain age.
Right.
It's the dark side of the country that I hear about. You know, nothing to do, so people get into all sorts of mess.
Cow tipping and stuff.
Amazing.
Cow tipping. That's so good. I'm not that black.
Of course. So we call some
what
time.
We said, oh.
What?
What? We were talking about Jesus.
Evidently.
But he was drinking beer out of the red Solo cup. But it's not beer.
It's not beer.
It's electrolytes.
Right. This is not beer. This is electrolyte water.
Red Solo cup. I drink you up. You were on something.
Right.
And Maria told me I should eat cereal in the morning.
Yeah, say you don't have time to cook or something.
Right.
You can have cereal
okay.
in the morning for breakfast.
What kind?
Special K or something? I don't know.
Thank
you. I don't want to endorse. This is not considered an endorsement.
Right.
I
can have cereal.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maria. I appreciate it. One other thing I want you guys to respond to, and I'll start with the Anchor Baby on this one. This is from.
I was on something, though. I asked, where did Jesus say that?
Say what?
That you don't have to be you anymore.
When you said, you must be born again.
Oh, so he told that to Nicodemus?
When he said you have to lay down a life to get a life.
Nice.
You don't have to be
whosoever either. Loses his life for my sake will save it.
Yes.
Hey.
Luke 9.
Same thing, right?
Yeah, all the same thing.
Nice.
Bible
John 3,
thumping.
Truly, so truly, I say to you, unless one is
I'm
born
sorry?
Again.
Did he say it in The Chosen?
Oh, my bad.
In the movie Chosen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
TV show, TV series.
I don't know.
I was just wondering where you heard it. Or
I read it in the Bible. It's all right. In the Word. It's all over the Bible.
I know, but that exact wording is just, I hadn't heard it before.
What?
That you don't have to be you anymore.
Right, because it was done.
Right.
So you no longer have to be you. Meaning, you don't have to hold on to this false identity. You're not your thought. You're not your emotion. You're not your ideas. You're not your belief. None of those things. You're neither an alcoholic or drug addict. You're neither right nor wrong. You're neither a sinner nor a saint. You're neither up or down. You neither have a past or a future. You're not those things anymore.
Paul said, I must decrease. I think it was Paul. And he must increase.
Absolutely. And that's what happens. When you stop being you, you will disappear and he will appear.
Yeah. I find that communicating with people, like talking with friends or like girls and stuff, it's different when you think like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the times, you know, you're trying to act a certain way to get a certain reaction out of both your friends and
girls. You're trying to get something from them.
Yeah, so it's like now it's different when I speak to my friends and like girls and stuff, it's different. It's
right, just
like,
you know, you're not trying to get anything, so you're not hiding.
Yeah.
And pretending.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
So, yes, Jerry?
Nope. Go ahead.
So do you find that interesting?
I do.
That you don't have to be you any longer.
It's pretty nice. That's kind of a relief.
That sounds better than you must be born again, right? You don't have to be you any longer.
Yeah, because I heard that before, right? I've heard that said a bunch of times. Very, truly, truly, you must be born again, right?
Yes.
So when you put it like that, it's definitely makes you think. It rings. It rings amazing.
It's so deep, I don't know what to do with it. I think about it all the time. I can't get it out of my mind.
You finna sing?
You fitting it.
Fitting the same.
Fitting the same.
One other thing I'd like for you guys to respond to. Psalm, it's Bobby Thumping Thursday. Psalm 23:4.
Yay.
Yay?
Yeah.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
hey,
I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me.
Hey.
What does that say to you, Anchor Babe? Do I need to repeat it?
No, yeah. I'm reading it right here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I mean, I don't know what this rod and the staff is and all that, but I mean, just saying that with God, you shouldn't have any fear. That's not normal, you know. That doesn't. You should have no fear. That's what it's saying to me.
What does it say to you? What does that mean to you?
Well,
to
me,
how do you see that?
How I see it is, we live in a chaotic world, and which represents the valley of the shadow of death, this chaotic world that we are living in. And the scripture is saying, I will fear no evil. So though we're in this evil world, we should fear no evil. When you are faced with trials and tribulations, face them with no fear and let God lead you, let him show you what to do, and just wait on him. And when it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff. Well, we know that shepherds, they have a rod and thy staff.
What shepherd?
Shepherds, they...
What's a shepherd?
You're from the country. You know what a shepherd is.
You don't know what a honky-tonk is. How am I supposed to know what a shepherd is?
Honky-tonk? That sounds... Come on now, you can't compare that to this.
What's a rod and staff?
Rod and staff. We know shepherds, you know, that lead sheep.
Oh.
They have a rod, yeah.
Oh, so he's going to hit you with staff. One of those?
Well, lead you.
What's the difference between a rod and a staff?
A rod and a staff. Well, yeah, and that's crazy. Actually, I have a rod in my leg from when I was playing football. But
do you have a staff in your leg, too?
I need
staff infection.
Like a titanium rod?
Yeah.
Sorry, ladies. I don't know what that is.
Sorry to that.
I was just, all right, but.
Not really sorry.
Well, you know, a staff, when you think of a shepherd, they hold on to, I think the body is like a rod, and then you call the entire thing like a shaft. But it just represents God leading us, you know, just as a shepherd leads his sheep, God will lead us. So sit in that fear, whatever you're in, and just trust in God that he'll bring you out of whatever situation you're in, you know. And that's really it.
Amazing. Yeah. What does that mean to you? Hey, Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me.
I've always liked this whole psalm.
Me too.
And I like this phrase.
I don't know about always like it, but
I don't know exactly what it means, but you know, there's a lot of times dread and great uncertainty comes on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like if you just are quiet through that, you can maybe recognize that God is with you. And I heard that the rod and staff part is his discipline and his guidance. Because I think that they, those shepherds, they say, those shepherds, they have a staff that has a hook around it, and the hook kind of hooks your neck and hooks the sheep's neck and kind of it can direct it in a different direction.
Right.
And life does that to you. If you'll notice, sometimes the life will change your direction sometimes. And so, nice.
Okay. Amazing.
And the rod, right? Spare the rod.
Right. They say right. Spare the rod. So that must be, I don't know if they smack the dumb sheep sometimes. Sheep do have a decent IQ, but not the best. Not as good as goats.
That's debunked.
According to this AI thing that I saw. But it was, they were saying that sharks or octopuses are as smart as people, some people. But, yeah, they do say that sheep are really dumb. They follow the crowd, and they may even, like, follow each other off a cliff like lemmings, maybe. I don't know. And like, it takes some different type of guidance.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anthony from Cash App said, for rod equal authority, and the staff is to lean on God.
Who did you say that was?
Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony. Yep. Rod equals authority, and the staff is to lean on God.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, lead. I agree.
Thank you.
And that was written by David, presumably. We hear, we understand. I'm kind of asking / saying. Because okay. He was a shepherd boy.
Because of time. Anything else you want to add to that or anything? How about you?
No, I think that's it. Lean
How
on God.
How about you, Anchor Baby?
No.
And just to add what I realized that means, because I used to think it meant what Derek said, because that's what I have been taught. But what I realized is that
what did Derek say? I forget.
Derek, you know how he said something about when you walk around with a sheep, you have a rod and a staff you're beating the sheep with?
Oh, that was me.
Did Same, you say
yeah.
That too?
Yeah, I was saying the rod and the staff, they represent shepherd, right. God being the shepherd, with leading the sheep. Yeah.
And you said that too?
I did.
And I used to think that because I was taught that in churches.
Right.
Especially out here in California.
Yeah.
And but what I realized is when you're going through the death of the ego, and it gets so painful, and it seems that it's going to last so long, and sometimes the spirit of evil makes you want to give up. But what you're really going through, it's the valley. You're going through hell. In order to get to heaven, you got to go through hell. And so, like, you're going through hell, and going through hell, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. and you would know that God is with you when you're going through that. And that's why some people don't give up, even though it's painful. One lady called the show once, and she said, like, she just wanted to pull it out of her, away from her stomach, mm-hmm. out of her.
I remember that.
And you do want to do all that because it's so painful. The ego death is so painful because we so identify with the ego, and it feels like we're dying. But when you're going through the ego death, your mind being renewed, everything is changing. You're going through the valley of the shadow of death. And in that, you don't need to feel evil, be afraid, because God is with you. It means that.
Mm. Nice. Yeah, no, I agree.
It's cool.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, come baby.
It's a nice way of
looking at it. Yeah, that's more that's like a living translation.
Yeah. And I'm saying this because I want those who are listening and those who want to change, that going through that ego death only because you're so identified with it, you think it's you, it's difficult because it feels like you are dying. You are dying, and you're not. It's just to fate you. But go through it anyway. Go through the valley or the shadow of death, and on the other side of death is heaven. Paradise. All right. So I just want to make that point.
Yeah. There's so many layers, too.
Of what?
Of the ego.
Yeah, it is.
So many layers, man.
It's crazy. It's deeper than what you think, and you won't know the depths of the ego until you start to die from it.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, that if we didn't identify with the ego, it would be over just like that. We wouldn't any longer have to be us, the false self.
Yeah, that's the biggest struggle because the ego is like how I would communicate with people. It's like how I would go about conversating with people. You know,
everybody conversate with people through the ego, by way of ego.
Converses.
Yeah. We black. We say that's all we know.
You guys add extra syllables,
right,
to sound sophisticated.
Yeah, conversation, conversing with people.
Conversing, and everybody. What I realized, too, about the ego, when people communicate with one another, they don't even mean what they're saying. They don't mean it at all. It's all lies. It's all an ego game, and it's all about self. It's never about you. Isn't that crazy?
That's why I say I don't even represent myself when I'm disclaiming everything.
That's right. That's deep. Absolutely. What a mess. Mark, did you want to add anything?
No, that's clear.
Anybody?
I agree.
No, sir.
Mark, a first-time call out of Florida. Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, hello, how you doing?
All is well, Mark.
That was pretty awesome, the discussion that you guys were just having.
I love those type of discussions. It's so hard to find people to have real converse with.
Conversations.
Yeah, you're using the wrong time.
Traumatized them.
Amazing. Go ahead, Mark.
Right, because I grew up in the church, and I knew things were not quite right, you know, with... I'm sorry, all of a sudden I got nervous.
As a stab.
And what did it...
As a stab.
What did it feel like to be nervous?
My heart started beating a little bit faster.
and what caused that?
I was like, what am I going to talk about? Like, I could talk about 40 years of being in church or the, you know,
the and scriptures. Who was saying that?
Who was saying that?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, I think it's me. I think it's what you said is that my ego, what y'all were just now talking about.
Hold on, Mark. Let me take a break. Hold on. Quick break, 888-77-JESSE. The Treasure Chest is now open on DLive. And what's the other thing?
Scratch-offs on pill.net.
Scratch-off on pill.net. Back in a moment. Anytime you have situations happening in your life, always be still. Don't overreact. most of the people that I know, they say, oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm an observer. And as soon as something don't go their way, they get mad. I'm like, what the? If you overreact, folks, remember to do that. Don't overreact. And when you get mad, it's your problem. It ain't your wife's problem, your husband's problem, your neighbor, your friend, your preacher, your teacher. It's your problem. Why do you think you tick? It didn't go your way or the way you think it should go. Don't have a way you think it should go. Let life just happen. Thoughts make you think that life should go the way you want it to go. And if it doesn't, if someone don't do or say or act the way you think they should act, you hate them. And then you blame them for being mad. It's the darndest thing I ever seen, but it's amazing to see it. So relax. I'm going to do some quick announcement because I want to get back to this and get as many calls and super chats as possible. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com. And then at 11 a.m., the American Anchor Baby. At 11 a.m., right after the TheHakeReport.com from 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time. And then summer is here. I need your help. We got to raise $50,000 or more to take us through the summer because during the vacation, people forget to donate and all that kind of stuff. And they forget. So I'll remind you, and when you make the donation for that, put a little note that says for summer, through this, you know, to help through the summer so we can recognize it. And I'll let you know when we get it. So whatever you can give to get us through the summer, it could be more than $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, whatever you can give. And $10, $12, whatever, right? I appreciate it. And I appreciate you helping us to help others. But we got bills to pay even during the summertime. I know this summer is White History Month, and the living is easy. But don't forget, I need to raise that, though. I need for you all to help out to get up to $50,000, all right? So go to rebuildingtheman.com/donate. Rebuildingtheman.com/donate. Call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. And also, you can mail in, check a money order at make the check of money on out to Bond, B-O-N-D, and send it to P.O. Box 35090, L.A., California, 90035. 35090, L.A., California, 90035. And if you forget that, it's all on my website, rebuildingtheman.com/donate. Rebuildingtheman.com/donate. Ain't nothing free in this world. We have to work together in the world, in the physical way. We need each other in a commerce way, but that's about it. All right, so make sure you donate whatever you can. And it is tax deductible, by the way. So $50,000, if you can get the whole thing, thank you. And we'll let you know when we get there or whatever much, however much you donate. And I thank you in advance. Oh, amazing. I want to go back to Mark out of Florida. First time calling. Mark.
Hey,
and so
Jesse.
Who are you, Mark?
I think when I first heard you, I know when I first heard you, you talked about how your mom traumatized you. And it was like you took me back in time to where I can remember what I was thinking and like where I was at, and then
where I was.
Yeah, where I was. It's funny.
We don't need the at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I can remember. And then I remember for about a year, I was like, I'm messed up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm whacked out.
Yes.
And then, what was I going to say? Shoot.
About who you
are. I looked at a picture one year in my school. You had to go to school and they take your picture.
Yes.
And I could, the next year I could see visibly I messed up. And I always wondered what happened. And then when I heard you about a year ago, you know, explaining how your mom traumatized you.
Right.
I was like, wow, are you kidding me? You know, it was just, it was like, this man just told me something that happened. I'm 57 years old. He told me something that happened, you know, whatever, 50, you know, 40 some years ago. Because I guess I was 6 years old or whatever it was. So I don't know. I can kind of see who I was, that I wasn't really like bad. I wasn't really. It seems like that picture stays in my mind. But that's all I can really say.
Have you forgiven your mother?
I had a bunch of conversations. And then I drove up from Florida, went to Virginia to go. I went up there and I just sat there and I said, you know, we were just talking and I said, Mom, you traumatized me. And then I could see her just like her anger was just like welling up inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you forgive her?
I had different conversations before that where I would talk and I would say, I forgive you. And then, so when I left the house, I felt like I did it right or I did the right thing or I've forgiven her. But then I think I was just judging her.
Oh.
I think I went into. Right. So I was in like shock that she. On and off, I'm surprised that she won't let go of her anger.
But don't be shocked. She loved her hell. Most people love their misery. They love their hell. That's why you, as an individual, have to say the hell to the world. Let the people of the world go to hell, and you come out of that hell into heaven, and you're not responsible for anyone else's misery. And you shouldn't even be concerned about it. You shouldn't even care about it. You shouldn't even think about somebody else's hell. Leave them in their hell.
Yeah. When I left, well, you know, that's my mom. She's always kind of been, it's always been kind of bizarre to me that she would be angry with everybody and then go to church.
All human beings are angry with everyone. Anger has no love for anyone. And even those people that join a group together because they have identified with the group, they're mad. Let's say they get mad at you, and then they go join a group, and then the group turn against you. That group don't even like each other. They're just doing it because they are agreeing in hell that they all agreeing. And angry people need outer support. And so... But all people are like that until they overcome.
I understand what you're saying because I've gone from church to church to different churches trying to figure out, like, you know, which one would work, you know, and none of them really would work.
And they never will.
No, because they got their, go ahead.
They're just groupies.
Yeah, well, they got one theology or one take, and then... You got to be in that group.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you're not, and you don't listen to the right music, you know, old music or new music or whatever, then you're wrong. And, you know, it's not like an underlying thought process that you're on the wrong path, you know.
Mark, because of time, I got to run, but let me ask, Did you forgive your earthly father for not protecting you from her, your mother?
I didn't say that to him because it was so complicated with her. And I was like, I could call back and tell him that. But he, years ago, he came to me and said, forgive me for being angry when I was a kid.
And so did you forgive him?
I said, oh, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was like real quick. And then after that, we were talking and getting along better. And, you know, I was good with my dad. And I didn't really realize, truly realize what had happened.
Right.
And so I was hoping that would happen with my mom.
That's not going to happen.
No,
it's women not. Don't forgive, except those ladies who realize that they are evil and they really face it. They forgive, but most women are not going to forgive.
Right. Yeah, I'm figuring that out.
So let me ask, are you doing the silent prayer?
Yes. I'm not sure what conscience, I hate to ask, but I'm not sure what, sometimes I'm confused with what I'm conscious or unconscious. And I think I know, but I sit there and just try to be quiet. And then just watch the thoughts, and I just try to let them go.
That's all you do. When you can watch those thoughts and do nothing about them, don't run away, don't deny them, just watch them, you are conscious.
No matter how horrible they are, just
especially
acknowledge
when
it.
They're horrible. Even when they're horrible memories or whatever, you watch them and just watch them and do nothing about it, you're conscious. And it's the light of God that is causing you to see them. And the light of the truth also is destroying the ego, the thoughts and the feelings.
And since it's Bible Thumper Thursday, I've always feel like the last year or something, I'll think about Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And then he said to Peter, Peter didn't want to let Jesus do that. And then Jesus said, you know, if you don't let me wash your feet, what did he say? You won't have any part of me or something?
Yeah, he said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you're a beta.
So, yeah, that's, I think that's kind of what's happening in this, you're funny. Yeah, he's a you a beta. I love you, man.
He was like, what the?
Right, exactly, because Peter was looking at Jesus, you know, so majestic, and, you know,
he would be looking at Jesus like that now, and Jesus didn't like that. He didn't, he was like, I'm no different, greater work you're going to do as I'm doing, and I'm no different than you, and but the people worship him and call him king anyway, just like they do with Trump.
Yeah, I'm figuring that out, you know, from listening to you. And even before that, I was kind of like, there's something wrong there. Because to me, I was thinking, well, if Jesus is not your friend, you know, you have fear. I would just have fear.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? Call me again because of time. Call me again. We have more time to talk.
That's cool. This is awesome.
All right.
Sounds great.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it. All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Super chat. Super.
Super chat.
Super chats.
Elaine is now a member on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Thank you, sir. P says, if you worship Jesus under the Noahide laws, you will be found guilty and will result in decapitation. Muslims and Jesse will be fine, though. Nice.
Under who laws?
Noahide laws.
Who is that?
I think it has to do with Noah, but I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Do you know, Derek?
Not up top.
I'm sorry?
I think,
no.
I think it's a Jewish thing.
You know the Anchor Baby?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Thank you, though.
Bondi asks, do you think we need another big Adolf?
Adolf. Like a big dinner?
I think like a Hitler.
What did they say?
Do we need another big Adolf?
I don't even know what that is.
Me neither. Bondi.
I don't know what that is. Make that clear for me. Thank you.
Age of Inversion says Lin Yan Chin is a spiteful mutant.
I don't know.
Age of Inversion is on Rumble, a monthly supporter.
Amazing. Thank you, but I don't know about Lynn. I don't know him. But thank you.
Pastor Satellite gifted the can. Coonin on Bible Thumper Thursday. We boonin.
Amazing. Darren, it's a coon. Thank
That's
you.
Right. Eli P., God fried Sodom and Gomorrah without any anger.
That's for sure.
Anthony G., 50 coffees. Very generous. No message.
Thank you. Amazing.
C. Bill, 3 coffees. What happened to Joel? Did he went AWOL? Laughing faces with tears coming out.
Thank you. He's not here.
Anthony says, not important. We have to need to know. Or That's want right. to have to need to know.
That's right.
Anthony says, white people called honkies back in the day equals slur. It was a slur for white people.
Honky?
You honky devil.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that word. I was thinking about
I'd only read it in Chicks publications. The Chicks tracts, right. Christian tracts.
Oh, man.
That's the only time I've ever seen.
You honky.
Yeah. Pelagic 6, very generous on YouTube. What's that shepherd's hook for, though? To wrangle the sheep, I think. Shepherds carry a crook.
You. I don't know, but thank you.
White Wing 7076 on Pilled. Shepherds carry a crook, a long hooked staff, and a rod would be a short staff, he says. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Wake up call. James loves yapping. Billy goat, octopus, sheep, brain. Bible verse on my mind lately. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. Luke 14:11.
Bible Thumper Thursday. Thank you. That's deep.
Very nice. Yep. On buymeacoffee.com/JLPTalk, Eric 3 coffees. Anyone with anger is a murderer, and the only path to anger is through the death of you.
If you doubt for a second that anyone with anger is a murderer, look how parents treat their children. They destroy them because they can't help it. They're a murderer. They have anger. Anger is evil. Amazing. Thank you.
Nice. Oh, also there. From Eric, 3 more coffees. Life is not complicated. We are not complicated. The selfish desires of the ego complicate life. Seek truth or be blinded by lies.
Absolutely. Life is very, very simple and easy to live once you come back to life. This false life is complicated. Thank you.
Indeed. Eric, 3 more coffees. It's impossible for the real you to be unhappy. It's fake, the fake you that's always looking for something.
Absolutely. Amazing.
Another from Eli P. If you want to get rid of thoughts, have a lobotomy. I don't know if that'll work. No
Amazing.
Thanks.
You're trying to figure out, what is a lobotomy?
That's when they stick a rod through your eye socket and then scramble your brain, something like that.
Amazing. Thank you.
Shout out to Potleaf, Games for Rec, Kid Combo, Wolf336, Groovy Monkey, and the rest of the supporters on the D-Live crew. Thanks, as always.
Thank you all.
And let me just double check on Cash App and everywhere. Thank you. Oh, Tyrannosaurus Rex says, itchy, itchy, scratchy, scratchy. Very nice. And Cole Berger asks, what kind of person are you actually?
Actually.
A dedicated person, actually.
Amazing. Thanks actually. For responding to the biblical question.
Yeah.
Can you say actually there?
Actually.
What?
Actually.
Oh, nice. You speak like a white man.
Indeed he does. Thank you, Steven Santiago, a member on the Jesse Lee Peterson channel.
Thank
Very
you.
Very kind. And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. So, Hake is having Krishan the Don done on his show today.
That's right.
Krishan the Don on his show today. And I think Krishan sent me a note. A well-wishing note.
Yeah, and so there were others. Hodge Twins, you know you were on Hodge Twins.
They sent me one, too.
They sent you one.
Wow.
Glad he's all right. And saw what happened to Jesse Lee. Hope he's doing aight. Hey, Jesse, saw the video when you passed out. Says Krishan, just wanted to check on you. Hope all is well and keeping you and your good health in my prayers.
Tell him I said I appreciate that.
He appreciates that, Krishan.
Yeah, thank you, man. And thanks to the Hodge twin. I got so many well wishes. It was mind-blowing. and still get them. So thank you. And I have not been able to respond to everyone, but thank you. Here's what I want you to know. If you know an angry person, I don't care who it is, I want you to know. Without, don't you, you know, you be you, right? Don't you go mean to them. But know that they cannot be trusted. They are not behind your back. They're stabbing you. Just know that, but don't do anything about it. Christ said you cannot trust an angry person. I don't care who it is or how friendly they seem or unfriendly. Just know that. Your mama, your dad, anyone, all right? And I'm saying that because I talk to so many people now who talk about how they trusted someone or and they would find out later they were backstabbing. Brandy, a first-time caller out of Canada. Bondi. B-O-N-D-Y? Bondi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you're right. Bondi.
Hello?
Hey, Bondi.
Yeah, do you know anything about Revelations 2:9?
No.
The synagogue of Satan?
No. What about it? I do know that the heart of human being is the synagogue of Satan. Anyone that has anger is evil, and their hearts is that of evil, no matter who they are. I do know that. So are you referring to that?
Like in like King James Version.
I said, does that make sense to you, that anyone that has anger, their hearts are the synagogue of Satan?
Yeah, the Jews.
No. Do you know that about yourself?
I don't have anger.
You don't? What happened to it?
Worry about life instead of...
I thought you said you didn't have anger.
I don't.
If you didn't have anger, how can you worry?
Worrying about bills being paid in 30 days, every single 30 days.
If you don't have anger, how can you worry?
Worry. Why would I need to worry?
No, if you didn't have anger, how are you able to worry if you didn't have anger?
I don't know.
Why don't you overcome your anger and find out?
But, like, anger is really not really how you explain most of the stuff if we're taught a certain way.
You're not taught anger. You're caused to become angry.
Because the...
Did you know your heart is the synagogue of Satan?
No.
Yeah, it is. That's what anger is. Why don't you drop... What would happen if you drop your anger?
You'll feel relieved.
So why don't you drop it?
I already did.
No, you haven't.
I just...
You have not dropped your anger. That's why you still have worry.
Worry about the Jews taking over the world, what they do already?
That's why you have anger. You're judging the Jews. You're worse than the people that you're judging. You are worse than the person that you accuse because you have anger. And the reason you're worse is because you're evil and you're playing God. Why are you doing that?
God.
How old are
you? I'm 24.
Why don't you drop your anger, man? What would happen if you drop your anger?
Uniting the races with truth. I don't know.
Well, drop it and see what happens.
Super chat.
Thank you.
Over on YouTube, No Comment says, Jesse, I'd rather worship a cow than worship a Jew.
Well, you all worship a cow when you hate the Jews. You're worshiping a cow. Amazing. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I think that's all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. Amazing. I am so out of time. The Take Report is coming up now. Krishan Nadan is his guest. You don't want to miss that. Believe me, it's always on fire. And then after that, the American Anchor Baby. And don't forget, we need to raise $50,000 or more to take us through the summer. Help us out. Help us to help others. And fuck you during the summer, right? Because you're going to be on vacation, and you're going to forget to donate. Whatever you can give. RebuildingTheMan.com/donate. RebuildingTheMan.com/donate. Or call 800-411-BOND. 800-411-2663. Drop your anger, folks, and stop hating. You are miserable when you hate. Amazing. What else? Oh, Medwin, M-E-D-W-I-N, Medwin, out of Texas. Ron, out of Texas. And somebody just dropped out of Texas somewhere. And then somebody on hold is just called in because Derek is in the studio, so he wasn't able to answer the phone. He's going to answer them now in case they're for hate. And I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. It is Open Line Flat Friday / Black Friday. All right. Work on yourself, folks, for those who want to be free and for those who want to hold on to your misery. Stay in your misery and blame the world and see where that gets you. Take care for amazing Bible Thumper Thursday. Take care. Boy, you better stand up and up. Put your hand up and hut. Because if you don't, then we lose. And then we got to hear the fake news. Whoa.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From Rage to Responsibility. From Rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
Thank you, J.C. Lee Peterson, for an excellent JLP show. The Hake Report is coming up next, guys. TheHakeReport.com. We're live coming at you Monday through Friday, right after the J.C. Lee Peterson Show.